We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know why it's the most important practice of the week?
Because
it's the next one.
I don't think the Chiefs played coy enough yesterday.
I don't either. I would have continued to play this thing out.
You know,
right?
This hasn't exactly been the most like transparent franchise of all, and like they had every opportunity to play the game yesterday. And just throw everybody off the scent and really toy with it, let it drag out. I thought a little too forthright yesterday. They did go indoors,
right?
Which was interesting because then none of the very limited amount of media that could go and do the head count and tell you who was running around and who looked good. But then I didn't think Andy Reid played it. And he normally does. He didn't play it as coy as he could have. Like he was describing, you know, he took all the snaps. Well, but he's still in the protocol. But you know, we're getting ready. You know, he did what he could. But you know, we're proceeding. Next man, you know, yeah. I'd have next manned up this thing for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
At least for another day or two.
But it's Patrick Mahomes, and I don't know if that factors in difference since he is the face of the NFL. And you got Roger Goodell on line one going, is he playing or not?
Then I call Roger, you know? Then I talk to Roger Goodell and go, yeah,
privately,
but I'm playing this out.
Privately, yeah, but you got to get the hype for the game going too, Josh. I mean, this is a TV show when it's all said and done. This is about the TV dollars.
Yeah, I know. Hype would be Wednesday and Thursday when will he play or not? And the ESPNs of the world going through the concussion protocol 8,000 times.
Oh, my God.
They were getting plenty of hype. It's just that now you're playing the gamesmanship with the Bills. I'm all for wasting other people's time.
Yeah, I get
in
you.
In preparation,
so you.
I'm wasting them more of their time thinking about a Chad Henne game plan that ain't happening.
Yeah, so you,
and I thought they revealed too much yesterday of all things.
Well, I think the Buffalo Bills realize that Patrick Mahomes is playing. I'm sure they're not wasting a whole heck of a lot of time.
They
with
can
Chad
realize
Henne.
It, but you can still put that out there and make them work 5-10 more minutes on Chad Henne than they normally would.
Well, I think you call practice a little bit earlier if you got to work.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how coaches
yeah,
are.
Sure.
So they would overprepare.
Sure.
The Chiefs aren't worried. They aren't preparing for Matt Barkley.
Okay? Who? No.
One
no.
iota.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But, you know, the other thing
they might be because the Chiefs seem to prepare for everything. But
if you would have said last week, does Chad Henne have a fourth and one play ready to go?
We can all say, oh, Mahomes is playing. But what if?
Yeah.
NFL coaches, teams have to prepare for the what if. So I'm all for making their what if time longer.
Well, and I think also too, the gambling line does factor in a little bit now. We're in a different world. Patrick Mahomes, I was reading this morning, we'll talk with Ben Maller about it coming up at 7:15 of Fox Sports Radio. I was reading some stuff today. He's a 10-point swing in the line. So you got a lot of gambling partners right now,
yeah.
Josh. So you got to take care of them too.
Well, Andy doesn't.
What's his war?
What's that?
Said, what's his war?
Yeah, I don't know, but.
But I got to ask that question too. Like, what's this week on one? They're like, what is Mahomes worth? And they're like, oh, you know, the line could shift from Chiefs -3
right.
to Bills -3. I go, I think more than that.
Yeah, like, no, it's crazy, right? And gambling is such a big part of the NFL now because of the legalization in just about, you know, every state other than Kansas and Missouri. You got the ability to go out there and put money on these games. And a lot of these teams and the leagues now have these partnerships with gambling. So gambling is taken off. There are so many factors in it. But, you know, roundabout, you know, they were basically, I think, letting the fans know that, hey, Patrick is going to play in this game on Sunday. And I was doing an interview somewhere.
Saying, why now?
Well, I did because, you
like,
know,
why of all times now when it most benefits you to not say anything?
Sure, I get it.
They have chosen to say something of all times where we've clamored for them to tell us something.
Boy, you're fired up about this one. You're mad at Andy, aren't you?
This just makes
you blew the element of surprise.
This makes no sense. Like you have
think about Drew Brees. Brees, right? Like,
you've
like
had the every week opportunity to cloak this thing for a few more days, and you chose not to, which is bizarre to me.
Josh is like on his, off his deep end today on this one. Why the hell are you telling everybody Mahomes is playing? Shut up!
Yeah. Why do you choose now to shine a light on things? This is the perfect time to go, I don't know.
You don't could get be, fired up much. This is a good one.
Could be Chad Henne. I don't know.
They trotted him out of the talk yesterday.
Because then we could all roll our eyes and go, no, I'm going to be Chad Henne. But still.
Right.
Like, Henne was like, bought an open book yesterday.
Well, it's bizarre, though, too, with this whole, like, playing coy or however you want to handle it. Because no matter what they say, everybody says, yeah, but he's playing. You know, it doesn't matter, like, who you are, where you are, or what you're thinking right now. If you are in the free world today and you're thinking about this game and you don't believe Patrick Mahomes is going to play, that's like a table for one, man. There's like I haven't
right.
found
the
anybody
table for
yet.
One is the opposition having to prepare for it. That's what they do. They prepare for all contingencies. We've seen it with the Chiefs. Again, there's no reason Chad Henne should have fourth down plays ready for himself, but he does.
But
they spend time on all these weird things, make the Bills spend time on, oh my God, I might have to look at 2014 Chad Henne tape.
But don't you think they're doing that already, though, if they are truly preparing for the game? Because we found out, and Andy Reid's a different breed, but Sean McDermott comes off that Andy Reid tree, and he was able to turn Buffalo around really fast, obviously.
You and I could all say, yeah, but Mahomes is playing. Andy Reid came out and said, yes, but yeah, but Mahomes is playing.
Right.
For the most part,
sure.
He did the exact same thing everybody's doing. I'm completely shocked.
I mean, Tyreek Hill was asked yesterday, can the team still get to where they want without Mahomes?
I mean, the goal is to have Patrick, but I like
I mean, just the way he started.
Yeah.
Can you get to where you want without Patrick?
Well, no.
What?
The goal is to have Patrick, but I like
yeah, the goal yeah. of it, the goal is then, to yeah, have Patrick.
This
yes.
one's great. This is great for the text line because the conspiracy part of me thought the same thing. Like, ever think it might be the opposite? Make them think Mahomes is starting, and the whole time they're planning for Henne. I hope that's not the case.
No, God,
I don't.
No.
Definitely don't want that to be the case. But I just found it funny yesterday more than upsetting. It was funny that you know, sometimes we're like prying for information out there, and they're like, yeah, did it, took all the snaps. I don't know.
I think also, too, though, Josh, there's been so much out there from every NFL insider saying that he is going to play. If Andy Reid got up there and go, he's not playing. Like, what? Everybody's been saying for the last 4 days that this guy is going to play. And that's Patrick
Mahomes.
This was
the perfect time to use the literally day-to-day line again.
It could have been. But he kind of did. He said today is the most important practice, right? So we'll have to see how much you know Patrick Mahomes has in practice today. And if he doesn't practice today, then that kind of raises the doubts again of whether or not he's going to be in the game on Sunday. But are we talking concussion or are we talking
toe?
I
can tell you today. I mean, today's national report is Patrick Mahomes took most of the snaps, but the Chiefs are very confident. If he can't go, that Chad Henne will be able to fulfill it. That's all it is. I mean, same thing. But, you know, play the game a little bit. I'm surprised that the Chiefs are the masters of playing the game. They didn't play the game yesterday, which is very weird.
They got a game to play on Sunday. They're done playing games. Like, let's get to this game. Let's win this thing. Let's have the 2 weeks off and get ready to face whoever wins that NFC championship game in the Super Bowl. I mean, it really is. It's survive in advance right now for the Kansas City Chiefs just to get through this round, get their quarterback to 100% level before the Super Bowl, get Sammy Watkins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Willie Gay, you mentioned, didn't practice yesterday, getting all of these guys, Breezy, everybody who's been banged up over the last couple of weeks, getting them healthy and ready to go for the Super Bowl, you know, when the Chiefs do win on Sunday over Buffalo, whether Chad Henne or Patrick Mahomes or whoever is playing quarterback. Andy Reid will have this team prepared. Andy Reid will have this team ready to go. Andy Reid will have a game plan that is going to be fantastic. And the one thing we've seen about this team all year long, and really for the last couple of years, when one side of the ball or one player is slacking a little bit, there is somebody there that is going to step it up. And say Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, I feel like the defense comes out and they put on the game of their lives because they know they've got to go out there and step it up to a different level if Patrick doesn't play in this game.
It'd be great for the movie. I mean,
of course.
For the movie of this whole thing. Andy Reid's update. This was his update yesterday on Mahomes.
Yeah, so he looked good. He's just he's in the protocol, so there's only certain things he can do, and it's a limited basis. But today is a little bit limited practice, so this fit right into what he could do. And but he took all the snaps, and you know, he feels good. So, I mean, we're just going to follow this protocol as close as we possibly can.
So. Yeah. So no contact, didn't roll right and zip one. You know,
that was the last time there was contact in a practice in the NFL.
I know, exactly. No look to his left. Chiefs put out some video to all the ESPN. There's a Mahomes barely stretching.
Yeah,
you know, walking and stretching.
Yeah,
stretching. It's just hilarious. But I thought that's what you put out. You took the practice indoors. You know, mm-hmm. the conspiracists jump up and do this, and then you say he's literally day to day.
Yeah, it's funny. They do went indoors yesterday. It was a beautiful day outside.
Gorgeous.
I mean,
it was
a perfect day for January to get outside and practice football. The sun was shining. It was bright. It was warm out. I mean, that was a good day to be outside yesterday, but you go inside so nobody can see it.
I mean, Andy was
inside anyway at this time of the year in the postseason because you know there are people spying.
Yeah, Andy was annoyed by the news copters last week, right? Yeah. So, yeah, that made total sense. You just bunkered in. But then you bunker in the press conference, too. That's what the surprising part was. But cool, he's going to play because we all are under the belief that he is going to play, and that's fantastic because this game is totally different. As you mentioned, I think it is a 10-point swing.
Right.
And not a good prospect going in there and saying, okay, we're going to play with the backup quarterback and rely on the defense to get a win. I'd rather go in with Patrick Mahomes and make them come to you.
Yeah, so. Sure. Absolutely. Obviously, you'd rather go in with Patrick Mahomes, but could they do it? Could they have the type of game plan they did against Buffalo in week six and win the game? Obviously, they can because they won that game in week six by running the football. If they could run the football like that on Sunday, doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They're going to win the football game, but I don't know that they can
Tyreek
run the
Hill
football
was not
like
part
that.
Of that game, he that, was that game not, planning
no,
so far.
He was not.
He was not on board.
If they were having those meetings at some other he was not in those.
What do you think, Rick? Can you win with Matt Moore?
I mean,
who?
Matt
Moore.
Or maybe.
Random quarterback here. He hasn't mentioned Chad Henne. He's just the guys.
The other quarterbacks or whatever. So, yeah.
What a week.
It is also a need-to-know basis. So Tyreek Hill doesn't need to be there until it's absolutely necessary.
That's true.
Then he ain't getting pat with him.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's a great answer. It's a fantastic. It's a completely honest answer.
Like, you can be an answer for anything.
Yeah.
Do you really like Brussels sprouts?
We're playing from homes.
Do you really like Brussels sprouts? Do you? I mean, no. Of course not. Can you win with Chad Henne? No.
I mean, the plan is to not eat Brussels sprouts.
Right.
So,
yeah. The plan is to not eat Brussels sprouts. I do, too. If you cook them the right way with bacon fat, fantastic.
I mean, you can put anything in bacon.
That is true. Anything with bacon fat is really good.
We head to Buffalo. Chris Brown hosts One Bills Live on WGR and tells us why Josh Allen is taking such a big step and if he's ready for what's in store next.
Chad Henne did his thing on offense.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Coverage of Chiefs and Bills brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. Be listening at 8:30. Between 8:30 and 9, every 5 minutes, we're going to get somebody registered to win playoff tickets, a 4-pack for Sunday's game.
Oh, my God.
Got to be listening between 8:30 and 9. Every 5 minutes, listen for the sounder. Be caller 15. We're going to get 7 people registered.
Now, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle yesterday. One man called 200 times and showed it to us on Twitter. So if you were trying to
call,
there's a lot of demand for this. So you need to be here at 8:30 listening and dialing and trying your hardest to get in. We're not taking your calls or whatever conspiracy theory.
I mean, as frustrating as it is for you to call 200 times, I mean, it's a real delight, like a real treat for me to answer that many phone calls.
I bet it is, yeah.
We head to Buffalo on our sister station, WGR. Chris Brown is the host of One Bills Live on WGR Radio.
What's up, Chris?
Chris, how do you look at week six, the first time these two teams met?
I think the Bills are also a team that have grown since week six. I think the Chiefs are what they are, you know, defending Super Bowl champions. But the Bills have changed since then. I think their offense has matured. I think their defense is playing significantly better football. There are several statistics since week 12 where this Bills defense is top five in the league. You know, they cut their run defense allowed in half, which is a hard thing to do when you got a big 245-yard game on your resume, which they added in week six. So I think they're playing much better defensive football. And I think the roles that were still taking shape on offense in this pass-heavy attack have kind of come into focus now here at the end of the season.
Chris, are they playing better defense just because they're more mature in the system, if you will? Or are they playing better defense because they got healthy? Or are they just playing better defense because, hey, it's playoff time. It's time to play better defense.
They are healthier. I think that is a part of it. Matt Milano is a huge component of their front seven. I would argue that he and Edmonds are their two most talented players in their front seven. And Edmonds was still coming back from a shoulder injury. Wasn't 100%, though he played in that game. And Milano was absent, as was Levi Wallace, who's their other starting corner, who was out with an ankle injury. So there were a couple of key parts of the defense you see now that were not there in week six. And I think they were still piecing together their defensive front. The part of their team that saw the most turnover from last year to this year was their defensive line. And so as a result, they were still trying to figure out how to play off of one another up front. Gap integrity was an issue through probably the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. So these are things that they have ironed out since that time.
Always looking at what you can do defensively. Do you feel this is going to be, though, about who executes better offensively?
Probably, yeah. I mean, but let's not kid ourselves. I mean, we're talking about a couple of the highest scoring teams in the league, and a lot of teams have had trouble stopping these teams, and understandably so. So, yeah, I mean, is it going to be up in the mid-30s? I don't know. I mean, I think it'll get close to 30. I think it'll be high 20s for sure. But if these two defenses continue to play as opportunistically as they have, I think it could be a high 20s game instead of a mid-30s, high 30s type game. And it's ironic. Everybody talks about how similar these offenses are, but I think these defenses share some commonalities as well. They'll give up yards. They'll get a little stingier in the red zone, and then someone will come up with a timely play. And that's how both of these defenses, I think, have largely survived to this point.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You look at the Chiefs' defense and people go, well, it's not that good. And then at the end of the game, they've given up 17 points and they win the football game. And so exactly. A lot of people are thinking like a high-scoring type affair, and that's what you have to do offensively if you want to beat the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes' 9 losses, the teams have averaged 37 points against him. Can the Bills score 37 or more points to win this game?
I think it's within their capabilities. I think they have to play their best game to do that. They were doing that certainly down the stretch when they were hanging 30 burgers on just about everybody. The playoffs are a different animal. And so I think that's the challenge here. They haven't been able to get there here in the playoffs. They got to 27 against the Colts, only scored 17 and only one offensive touchdown against the Ravens. Though I think most people would argue that the Ravens probably brought one of the best defenses to the playoffs in the AFC. So, yeah, 30 is a great number to get to. I think it's harder to do that in the playoffs. And, you know, could this develop into a shootout game where, you know, Brian Daboll's got a masterful game plan and so does Andy Reid? Sure. I mean, we could have a shootout. I don't think anybody would sneeze at that. But I think we've learned in the playoffs that points just seem harder to come by, whether it's defenses rallying in the moment or just being opportunistic, as both the Chiefs and Bills defensive units have been.
Chris Brown from our sister station WGR in Buffalo and the One Bills Live show joining us. Where have you seen the biggest growth in Josh Allen and watching him in his career?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an across-the-board deal, guys, but, I mean, even people like me who watch every snap the guy takes, I did not anticipate this kind of a leap in year three. I think we saw a 6% increase in his completion percentage from his rookie year to his second year. We're like, okay, you know, if he does that again and gets to like 63, 64% completion, they can win with that because of what he does with his legs and all of this. And so we would have been completely satisfied with that as an acceptable year of progress. And the kid lights the world on fire. He jumps up 10% in completion percentage from last year. Yeah, I mean, it's unheard of. We had Brian Billick, you know, who's been around pro football for the better part of 40 years on our show recently. And I asked him, I said, in your 40 years of being around pro football, have you ever seen a jump like this in a single season. And he said, it is unprecedented. This does not typically happen. Now, the main reason that it did was in the offseason, he went and he works with Jordan Palmer in the offseason out west with his QB summit and everything. Sam Darnold does it too. And he had his throwing mechanics digitally mapped. And he kind of jokes about it because all of the quarterbacks did this that work with Jordan Palmer. They all had their throwing motions digitally mapped. Josh Allen goes last. So he's like, I'm listening to these guys review the guys throwing mechanics. Oh, you know, pretty good. Your hips firing here and then your arms coming through and blah, blah, blah. He goes, then they get to me. He said, my hips doing nothing. He said, I'm all arm. And so it was seeing it visually made it readily apparent to him that he had to incorporate his hip drive into his throw. And because he wasn't, it was compromising his accuracy. So about 10,000 throws later in the summer, here we are. And so I think Josh still to this point doesn't get enough credit for the work he has put in to be a better quarterback. And there's one other area where I think he is still underrated as a quarterback in this league, and that's football smarts. He is a really sharp kid. With as varied as Brian Daboll's offense is, to be able to master it, granted it is his third year in the system, but in terms of calling the protections, checking plays at the line, and making adjustments, sight adjust, hot read, all of that stuff, for a third-year guy, he's got it down pat, and some of the things that he does on the field, he's left to his own volition. Brian Daboll does trust him that much.
Chris, before we let you go, I always say in order to beat the Chiefs, you have to play a perfect game and then even better. You have to play more than perfect, and something has to happen for you to win that football game. Special, magical. What has to happen for the Bills to get a victory here in Kansas City?
I think they do have to. I agree with you. I think they do have to play their best game of the season. I do believe that they have something that is similar to the Chiefs. You know, they've got four bona fide weapons in the receiving game, and most NFL defenses do not go that deep at the corner position. And that is where they are not afraid to tap into anyone and everyone. Is Stephon Diggs far and away the number one target on this roster? Absolutely. He's their go-to guy, third down, whatever. But Josh Allen is not afraid to throw it to anyone in this offensive arsenal that is open, because he believes that anybody can make a play, whether it's Gabriel Davis, who only has 35 catches this year, but had 7 touchdowns. I mean, that's one out of every 5 catches. He's in the end zone, and he could have had 3 more that got called back on penalty this year. Dawson Knox, who has kind of emerged here in November and December and has made more plays for this offense. So I think this offense is cresting at the right time, because they're going to need to tap into everybody if they're going to keep pace with this Chiefs team. And I think another underrated part of their team is their special teams unit. They got a Pro Bowl return man in Andre Roberts, who has helped immeasurably with field position, giving this offense shorter fields to work with so they can finish more drives with points. They will need him to be a factor, I think, on Sunday.
Chris, thanks for the time. Have fun on Sunday.
You got it, guys. Enjoy it.
Chris Brown, WGR Radio in Buffalo, joining us. Coverage of Chiefs and Bills, of course, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. It's just not smart to attempt a pitcher's duel with the Chiefs. And we'll shout it out, 913-576-7610. Line them up next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Can Josh Allen go swing for swing with what most people believe is the best quarterback in the National Football League in the biggest moment? He's shown up to this point that he can match it. He can play at an MVP level. Biggest moment, biggest game of his career. Will we see it again against Patrick Mahomes?
No. No. The answer's no.
Collective answer to that. Yeah. Kurt Warner, NFL Network.
Yeah.
You just can't go punch for punch. You can't try to go pitcher's duel and these things,
right?
It's he's in a different realm,
right?
And as much as you might hate the Aaron Rodgers, do you ever go into a game going, you know what? I just gotta outduel Aaron Rodgers and try to outthrow Aaron Rodgers. No,
you can't do that.
You don't do that with this type. You don't do this with Patrick Mahomes. So no, you're not gonna go throw for throw with him. That's for the summer competition where you're doing something for charity. That's the only time Josh Allen should be going throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Let me get this. Tom Brady and then the outlier of Derek Carr. Those are the two people in, 3 years that have gone throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes? Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, he's lost 9 games in his career, you know, and Tom Brady a couple of times, I think, you know, the playoff game and up in New England once.
And then
Derek Carr. Yeah, I mean, like that's it. If you're trying to go throw for throw.
Derek Carr should have walked after that game.
I don't know, Josh. You're no Derek Carr.
Right.
Okay?
That's a mic drop game. I mean, he may never have a better game again in his
walked
life.
Walked out the tunnel and
put on the jean jacket and laid on the hood of that Honda. Again.
Well, I guess after the lap, after they took the lap around Arrowhead, he's like, I'm out.
Allegedly. See ya. Yeah, allegedly took the lap, right? But the answer is 100% no. You cannot go throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes. Nobody can go throw for throw. That's not a knock against Josh Allen. That's just the reality of the NFL right now. It was, you know, to borrow a bad example for fans here in Kansas City. You going pitch for pitch in 2014 with Madison Bumgarner in that World Series? No, you're not going to be able to do that. That guy was dominant, and that's where Patrick Mahomes is right now. He is such a dominant force in this league. Like, I would have a hard case if I'm Green Bay saying, you know, we just go throw for throw with Aaron Rodgers. No, eventually you have to find a different way to flip the script, and the Chiefs would probably have to overcome what
he's going to do to you with some other things.
That's what I'm saying. You've got to kind of flip that script.
This isn't smart.
Right.
What can we do? This at other areas of this team? Yeah, I mean, that's the way you got to go about it. You can't say, well, you know what? This game comes down to, can you outthrow that Mahomes guy? Because if not...
No, if not, you're not going to win.
Good luck with that.
Then don't show up. I mean, like, if that's your game plan to try to beat Patrick Mahomes and go throw for throw with him, don't show up. It's not worth your time because you're not going to do it. The dude's 5-1 in the playoffs, too. The only thing that stopped Patrick Mahomes so far in the postseason has been Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick aren't walking through that door on Sunday afternoon to play the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the only way to really beat the Chiefs is to have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on the sideline, who are really good at what they did at that time, or do something extreme. Like, I was listening to the interview with Andy Reid and Brian Mitchell, and they brought up the pickle juice game. And I was actually at that game in Dallas that year. I think it was Andy Reid's first year as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's 115 degrees outside. It was the hottest I've ever been at a sporting event. It was when I was working in Texas, and so they used to take bus trips up from South Texas to go watch the Cowboys. It was the only team at the time. And they said, do you want to go? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And so I went to this game, and I'll never forget people tailgating and eating Subway in their Mercedes-Benzes with the air conditioning on. And I'm like, this sucks, man. This is a terrible way to tailgate. And then we got into that old Texas stadium, and you know how it's kind of domed like that, just a little hole in the top, and there doesn't get a lot of escapism when air, you know, tries to get out. And so it's a humid cesspool is what it was. And
it's recycled. It's
really, when you're really selling the hell out of it.
When you have that recycled air button on in your car.
That's right.
That's it. Okay.
That's what it is, right? Yeah. And I remember walking the concourses and people were literally like passed out. It was so hot. And that was I've never been so miserable in a climate it was just hot, and you just know how hot the sun's beating. It's terrible, right? And so all these people are just like, oh my God, like dehydrated and whatnot, passed out and then this was like before the game even started. And then that game starts, and the Eagles, under first year, I believe, head coach Andy Reid at that time, did an onside kick, and they recovered the onside kick to start the game. And I was like, man, I've never seen anything like that. And then it came to known after the game, all the Eagles players were drinking pickle juice on the sidelines and before the game to keep their electrolytes up so they wouldn't get dehydrated in that game. But they started it with the onside kick. That's what you have to do if you want to beat Patrick Mahomes. Because back in 1999, the Philadelphia Eagles were under a new head coach. The Dallas Cowboys were still pretty much the class of the NFC East at that point in time. They knew in order to beat the Cowboys and put themselves in the best position to beat the Cowboys, they had to do something different and unconventional. And I'll never forget that. I was like, that was a genius move. Now, I don't believe we've seen Andy Reid do that since, but if you're playing the Chiefs this weekend in the AFC
Championship, had that shot thing of pickle juice, right?
Did he have the pickle juice shot? But he hasn't done the
one that looked like an airplane bottle.
As in like that 99 bananas bottle.
Okay. But he hasn't done the onside kick or anything like that. But if you want to beat the Chiefs, those are the type of things that you have to do in order to beat them. If your game plan is, all right, we're just going to go put our guy, you know, Josh Allen. No, and it's no knock against Josh Allen. It's just reality. If you're going to put our guy against his, you're just not going to win the game. You have to do something different. You have to do something unique. And Andy Reid did that in his first day as a head football coach in the NFL. And for whatever reason, I was there, and I'll never forget that moment. But that's what you have to do if you're the Chiefs. You have to flip the script.
And then if you do crazy stuff and it doesn't work, we'll criticize you. Let's shout it out. 913-576-7610.
We're not Buffalo. I'll laud them for it.
7610, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610. Get 10% off. What is on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, Ryan?
816 says, shout out to Mackenzie. She's celebrating 13 years today, clean and sober, and I couldn't ask for a better friend.
Congratulations, Mackenzie. Way to go. Oh, man, that is a really, really, really big milestone. I'm proud of you. Keep going, my man. Or
my woman.
My woman, I guess I should say. Yeah. So keep on going.
It has a different connotation when it you does, say my it? Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. But I'm proud of you. Either way, yeah. I'm very proud of you. That's
pretty
cool.
Way to go,
cool.
Woman.
Yeah. Nicely done.
It just hits your ear different. It really does. Yeah. One day at a time. Keep going. Keep going.
I remember Schneider.
Onward and upward. I'm so damn sick of hearing the word unprecedented, we need to wipe that word off the map.
What word would you wipe off the map if you could get rid of one word? Think about it. Let us know. What word would you wipe off?
I'll think about it for a really long time now.
And
I feel
on the
like
text
phrases
line too.
Are easier to wipe off the face of the map. I'd love to wipe phrases off the face of the map. We start with I know, right?
How about the when people answer a question now, you get a lot of yeah, no's.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
Ned? Yeah.
Ned Yost.
Yeah, yeah,
Ned Yost.
Nah. I don't think that's the way it goes, but it is the way it goes. Yeah.
785 says Joe Exotic says he's too gay to get a pardon.
That limo.
That limo was really good.
That was a really nice limo.
That limo
what was the back of that thing? Was that like a pool?
I think it was just like a...
No, they showed the inside. It was really nice. Yeah.
But it was like a caged outside. I mean, I felt like it was a, you know...
You think it was for a tiger?
That's what I was going to say. Like, what was the back part of that limo?
That's what I felt like it could be.
That would be for a tiger.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy prison. 785 also says they got porked at Smokehouse last night.
Oh, nice. Very good. Way to go. I did a national radio show yesterday for the Vizen Gambling Network or something. Mm-hmm. And they were like, where's the best barbecue? I did like a 30-minute commercial for Smokehouse yesterday.
Just send it to them? Should.
No, they should send it to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, should send it to Smokehouse.
Oh, Smokehouse.
Jared Goff did go throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes. That's right, too.
That was a couple of years ago, yeah. I do remember when the Chiefs didn't have much of a defense, right?
I know I saw this text the other day. Maybe I didn't read it.
In 18, you could go throw for
you
throw.
You could, yeah.
816 is as much as I bitch and moan about mowing. I'm so ready for that season.
I am too.
You don't even mow.
I'm ready for the season,
though. Season. It wasn't about
about the mowing.
Well, he's talking about the mowing.
Oh, he's ready to mow?
He's ready for mowing season.
No, I'm just ready for the spring. I hate winter. I think it sucks.
I love winter.
Oh, it's the worst. Tremendous. January and February are awful. Thank God the Chiefs are good to get us through January and February. Other than that, these 2 months suck. They offer nothing. Dark, cold, gray, foggy, snow.
308 says we say delightful too much.
That is delightful, though.
I love the word
you
delightful.
Do say, delightful, you do say delightful, yeah.
I love the word delightful.
It's a good word.
It is. It's delightful.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you say it?
What's the perfect jalapeno popper? I like a good bacon wrap.
A dead one. Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry.
The one from Madison Meat and Deli that has the cream cheese and the brisket mixed together. Ooh. And they use huge jalapenos. They wrap it in their own bacon, and it's tremendous.
That sounds pretty. Yeah. That sounds delightful.
I guess I didn't realize we. Yeah.
I'd wipe out social distancing, says the man.
That's a good one, too. I would, too. I don't want to do, you know, I wish we didn't have to do that anymore.
Let's just start with COVID.
Yeah, right? COVID's a good word.
Let's get rid of that. Just want to give a shout-out to Fesco for recommending Smokehouse Wings.
Oh,
so awesome.
They're phenomenal.
Get rid
phenomenal.
Of the word literally. Oh, yeah, I could do without literally.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, get yourself some Smokehouse Wings for the game, too, this weekend.
Huh.
They're delightful.
That was, yeah.
913 says, Ryan, I'm very confused. CDOT almost blocked me for calling Josh Allen's mustache gay. On the text line? That's because he's soft. You probably shouldn't do that, though.
But also, why do you got to do that?
I mean, that's Joe Exotic. Like, he's, we all know his slant. I don't really know where to go with from that. Wipe out the Raiders. This is the 816.
I would probably wipe out using the term honestly. That just makes me believe
you're lying.
Other times you're not.
Well, if I'm being honest.
Well, it's honestly.
What are you doing the rest of the time?
Yeah, exactly.
Lying to my face?
That one's always struck me funny. Like, oh, well, to be honest.
660 says they'd wipe out charcuterie board. That is a trend I don't understand.
It does sound fancy.
And don't get me wrong.
It's cutting board with
meat and cheese.
Well, no, I mean, there's also like figs on it. That's and some crackers sometimes. Get some
it's
nuts
a fancy
in there.
Meat and cheese tray.
Yeah.
It's an adult Lunchable.
Yes. Just sounds fancier. It's on a wooden board instead of a plastic sectioned off container.
Mm-hmm.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out. Productive as always. Text line remains open for you at 913-576-7610. Chiefs went all underground yesterday. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Thursday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing. Be listening. Coming up at 8:30, your chance to win tickets to the game on Sunday. 4-pack tickets. We're going to register somebody every 5 minutes between 8:30 and 9. Every 5 minutes between 8:30 and 9, we'll get somebody registered to win a 4-pack of tickets. Just be listening at 8:30.
That's right.
And then remember 913-576-7610. Every time you hear the sounder, that'll be your cue to call and get yourself registered.
Texter out of the 816 just now found out what a charcuterie board is. Said I have to go with my wife to my mother-in-law's Saturday to do charcuterie and listen to records. Now
what?
You told me what it is. I'm trying to come up with an excuse not to go.
Well, no, it's good. It's decent enough food. Like, leave the figs and jelly off. Just give me cured meats
meat and
cheese.
Yeah.
It's good to
man. I'm more interested in these plans that were made. Like,
well, yeah, you got.
Would you like to come over and have charcuterie and listen to records?
No.
Like,
the answer is no.
What year is the best?
The answer is 100% no
very
on that
strange
one.
Request.
That's one where you say, you know what, honey, you can go. I'll just stay at home, sit on the couch and drink.
Now, if you said, come over and sit on the couch and eat some meat and cheese and have some beers, you'd be like, oh,
yeah,
sure,
come
I'm
over
in.
Listen to some music
it just
and
doesn't feel
meat.
Like a planned activity. That feels like something you're doing in your downtime.
Well, I mean, that could be some planned activity for some folks, man. Maybe, you know, it's COVID times. Anything goes right now if you're trying to see your family
you
or something.
You know what we haven't done in a long time? Listen to records together.
Yeah, well, the records are making a comeback, man.
I have a record player. Mm-hmm. Very nice one, actually.
I had a Fisher-Price one somewhere.
Stanton Direct Drive. Very, very, very nice record
player. I have a phone and a Bluetooth speaker. I'm good. I don't need the record.
Then you're not getting the sound.
I don't care.
Vinyl sound,
I don't care, Josh. I really don't. I don't care. It's just another thing to collect dust that I'm going to have to throw out.
You're losing the dynamic of the music that was originally intended for you to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are. You're losing the highs and lows.
I'm fine. I'm good with that.
When you compress it into a digital format.
I understand, but I'm good with that. I'm willing to sacrifice that for convenience. I am. Like, Sinatra sounds good. The who else? Do Bon Jovi sounds great on an iPad.
Oh, so you just listen to terrible music. I got it. That's,
I mean,
we're too into this, and I can already stop you right now.
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing worse than, and I'll use my friend Garrett as the biggest example of this. He was a
living on a prayer.
Great stuff. Fantastic stuff. That's a drop. That is a drop. That is 100% a drop. Cut it. Use the hell out of it, and then people will get tired of it. But my friend Garrett was always like that with like Dave Matthews. Once Dave Matthews became mainstream, he was no good anymore because too many people like Dave Matthews. I'm not going to sit there and listen to your records because you think the B-side track 7 is phenomenal.
No, Dave Matthews no good because it sounds like somebody stepping on a goat's throat.
Yeah, my wife hates Dave. I love him. One of the best concerts I went to was out at the place
like
formerly
Dave
known
Matthews.
As Sandstone.
I feel like sometimes, though, their songs should end. They just keep playing. Like,
yeah,
why is he still
point.
Playing this fiddle?
Yeah, it's like,
stop.
Okay, not every song has to be 18 minutes long, okay? That's
you know
all.
What I feel like with the song? Remember that song Mirrors by Justin Timberlake?
I do, yes.
Okay? That song needs to end. And then it continues for like another 2 minutes with some weird stuff
didn't we
at the
use,
end.
Didn't we use that track for Vern's show? For a while,
did we? I don't know.
I'm pretty
That's
sure
what,
we
that
did.
Was a that was. I mean, could I say that that was Spector's wedding song? You know, he danced to that with his bride for their first dance, and so that song comes on, and it should end. Like, I think the radio version ends.
Spector didn't have unlicensed music at his wedding.
He did not.
I kid, boss. Do you guys know this one? You know, Ryan picks a title from our extensive library, and Spec asks the band if they know how to play it.
That's good.
Really good.
All right, we digress. So the
Do you know Wedding in Europe?
This feels like a good wedding dance song.
Yeah.
Hoppa! So the Chiefs went underground yesterday, or indoors. You know, all eyes were on the quarterback, and should have been probably a little bit more on one of the defensive backs, and then the others that had been injured, and suddenly the Chiefs decided to practice indoors, which is fantastic. Andy Reid, you remember the week before, was kind of not too happy about some helicopters flying overhead, and you know, why take the chance this time of year that someone could be spying on you,
yeah,
or using video, whatever, just take it indoors and lock everybody out. So that's what they did. Mm-hmm. And then they sent a little bit of video to, like, ESPN's been running it over and over today of Patrick Mahomes.
They just put it up on their website. ESPN just swiped the video.
It's fantastic. Like, just give them a little bit. They'll show it over and over, and you don't have to reveal anything. Terrific. So everyone was listed basically as limited yesterday, except for Willie Gay. Both Patrick Mahomes and Bashaud Breeland, both still in the concussion protocol, but both worked on a limited basis, whatever that means. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rashad Fenton, Sammy Watkins, all listed as limited as well. Hopefully that's good news. Those three, of course, did not play in last week's game, and hopefully they're closer to getting healthy. Andy Reid has called this today, Thursday, the most important day. Uh-huh. I guess they're going to practice a little bit longer, get a little better evaluation of where they're at in terms of injuries, and maybe today's injury report. I'm guessing it'll still be limited practice for everybody, but they may get a longer look and make a determination for themselves anyway, how close people are to coming back.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Mahomes injury, and we've talked obviously a lot about that, but people really aren't focusing on the injury that I think is a very important one. And I said this yesterday. Somebody asked me about the Mahomes injury when I was doing an interview about this game, and I said, quite honestly, I'm more concerned about Breeland than I am about the Patrick Mahomes injury, because I believe Mahomes, and we all believe Mahomes, is going to play in this game. Breeland is your best corner right now, and you're going against an offense that can throw a lot of wide receivers at you, specifically Stephon Diggs. And he did not, and
Buffalo people loved the dynamic of Diggs and John Brown.
Oh God, yes.
Who was coming back from injury the last time the Chiefs played him, barely played, wasn't a fact, but they believe that combination is what kind of makes the whole thing tick.
Correct.
Like if you allocate everything to Stephon Diggs, and John Brown can have a good game, takes some things away that allows Diggs, and so they feed off each other very well, and at least from a Bills perspective, they believe that that's something that's different this go around.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have Breeland in that game, obviously, because of that dynamic right there. But if he can't go, it's like, all right, who's going to step up and who's going to be the guy that replaces him, you know, in the secondary? And I'm like, well, it's not about the secondary. This is now where Frank Clark and Chris Jones earn their money, because if you're down in the secondary, the number one thing that you have to do to cover for that is get to the quarterback, make his life miserable, find ways to get to him quick, use your defensive line as your strength to stop the passing game, not necessarily rely on the defensive backs. And I always talk about going back to Dick Vermeil saying, if we can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter who's playing defensive back for our football team. If we can't get to the quarterback, that guy's going to have a field day anyway. And so this team has done an amazing job all season long, and really for the last couple of years, of picking each other up. We've seen games where the defense has played well, if the offense wasn't having a day, or how many times the offense has picked up the defense, or even the special teams coming through at times. This is a team that has been able to make a living picking each other up. So if the D-backs are down a man, which they potentially could be with Breeland, it's time for Frank Clark to earn his money this year. Because quite honestly, this season, he's been non-existent, okay? He's been non-existent. And last time they played in week 6, and I don't take a lot from week 6, but a big reason why Stephon Diggs, in my opinion, did not have a huge day, because Frank Clark did have a big day against Buffalo. 2 quarterback hits, a pass batted down. And to me, when you have stats like that, that's how you make an impact on the game. countless pressures on Josh Allen that day. So to me, for my money, this week, if Breland is down, it's time for Frank Clark to go out there and earn that dough. You know, remember that?
It's probably time anyway, actually.
It is, but yes, if you're down a man in the secondary.
How can you pick him up?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'd just take more Frank Clark, period. But you're right. I mean, he helped disrupt the quarterback in that first game.
He did. He had a big role in disrupting Josh Allen when they held Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson combined for like 200 yards in two games. That's the Frank Clark we need this weekend. You know, I don't care about the edge. I really don't. I don't care that he sets the edge or whatever they're telling us, right? It's like the blocking tight end or the wide receiver who does a great job blocking down. I don't care.
Last week he was protecting the screen pass.
Right. And we did hear that. And you could see a couple of – fine, whatever.
Set the hell out of the edge, too.
He needs to get to the quarterback this week. He needs to affect the quarterback. I sound like Greg Williams. Yep. Affect the quarterback. But that's what you have to do. This is where Frank Clark really can earn himself back into the hearts of everybody in Kansas City if he goes out there and has a monster game, along with Chris Jones. It's not just about Frank Clark. It's about that defensive line. If this defensive line is playing like beasts, like there's blood in the water and they're getting to Josh Allen, defensive back situation is going to take care of itself. But if they can't get to the quarterback, then anybody can sit back there and pick apart a defense.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, a radio.com sports station. Chris Jones.
Living on a prayer.
Chris Jones says they won't be able to completely stop the Bills' offense.
It reminds me a lot of us 2 years ago, you know, when we had the high-powered offense and we was able to score at will. Those guys can score at will, man. Singletary, the running back, they can still run the ball. I don't think they just completely abandoned, but their quarterback is doing so well, so why not leave it in a quarterback hand? So we got to try to stop the run and contain this quarterback. You know, the guy can throw 80-yard bombers. He can throw 60 yards on a run. So, you know, we got to try to contain him and slow him down. I don't think we're going to be able to stop him, but we can contain him.
There you go. Not stop and contain.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stop and contain.
I'd rather stop. I don't need to contain him. Just stop.
Timeless phrase.
The guy can throw 80-yard bombers.
It's going to be a timeless phrase. Mm-hmm. Get that on a T-shirt.
Yeah. I don't even know if you have to stop the run right now. It doesn't look like they have any interest in running, but maybe they try this week. But certainly they have the offensive weapons, a quarterback who's playing super, super confident, an offensive coordinator that apparently is pretty dialed in with the quarterback. I mean,
sure,
they've done a lot of nice things in Buffalo, especially offensively. I love, like, Chris Jones, like, remember, this was kind of like us 2 years ago when we could score at will. What is he saying about his offense now?
Was that a shot at the offense now? Hey, you guys need to pick it up out
you
there.
You guys remember when this 40? Offense was good?
And they had to bail us out all the time?
Remember when you could score 70 points in a game and not think twice about it? You need to get back there so we can take a day off.
I really hope Josh Allen updates his Twitter bio, too. Quarterback for the Bills can throw 80-yard bombers.
Yeah, that's exactly
can throw
right.
80-yard bombers.
Bombers?
I think so.
I think you said bombers.
The guy can throw 80-yard bombers.
Bombers, yeah, absolutely. 80-yard bombers is what he said. So, yeah, to me, it comes back to the defensive line. If they can go out there and play, and they can go out there and get pressure, and they can go out there and make Josh Allen throw the ball before he's ready, then this team is going to be just fine defensively, regardless who's playing back there at that defensive back position. But that's where your money's tied up, too, Josh. I mean, you can send all the Daniel Sorensen blitzes and the Ty Matthew blitzes and Legarius Sneed blitzes. Happy birthday, Mr. Sneed, celebrating today. You know, you can throw all of that out there, but when it's all said and done, you've got two guys that are tied up making close to $200 million in contract money. Those are the two guys that need to play and have to be the difference in the game. It's on you guys now.
Doobie doobie doo. Happy birthday,
Legarius Sneed. How old is he today, Bob? 24 years old.
1997.
God, he's entering his Brad Keller year.
He is, yes.
Can you believe he's only 24
years old? He's only 24 years old. And the way that he's played, the impact that he's had already on this team,
incredible.
Huge.
It's incredible.
You don't see many 24-year-olds doing that. At 24, what were you doing?
Hello, Legarius Sneed!
Probably waking up in a ditch somewhere.
Exactly. join the club.
Definitely not making an impact for my team, whatever that team was.
Making an impact on my couch, that's about it.
Indent on your couch.
That's the one.
Yeah. This doesn't have quite the power of a Julian Edelman t-shirt or anything, but Jordan Poyer of the Bills. they're just the underdogs. And you know, Bob, they've been the underdogs all year long.
I don't think anybody's given us a chance really all year. You know, we, like I said, the guys between these balls, man, we're the ones that matter.
What?
Yeah.
We're the ones that believe in ourselves, you know, have the confidence. We're not really worried about, you know, who, what other people pick, because most of the time those guys are wrong, you know. So, you know, we're just worried about us. And at the end of the day, we always talk about, you know, it's not about them. They got to come play us. So, you know, that's just our mindset.
Nobody giving them a chance. You're the two seed.
Not a single person's giving them a chance, except for, I don't know,
everybody.
Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, Colin
Cowherd. Third, four straight week Buffalo Bills. I'm just going to give you a little something to simmer on for you Chief fans. They're the first team in the NFL to win their last three games by over 25 points entering the playoffs since the 96 Packers who won the Super Bowl. When you're good and you're on fire, you are no fun to play. They can attack you from any angle. Stephon Diggs was the best wide receiver. Huh. Allen looks like the best quarterback in the league.
So disrespectful.
They're protecting him. They can run when they need to. They're excellent situationally on defense late in games. What they did to Miami was jaw-dropping. Everybody struggled against Miami's defense. They dropped a 50-burger on them. For the third, maybe fourth straight week, I think Buffalo, the Bills, and the Bills Mafia, number one team in the NFL.
Wow, that's, yeah, that is just disrespect.
Well, Jordan Poyer says, you know, he doesn't listen to that stuff because most of the time they're wrong.
Right.
So maybe they are.
They are wrong.
So how does
that.
He know nobody's giving him any respect?
Well, that's because he
I
said
I don't listen to any of that stuff, but nobody's giving us respect. Probably because you're not listening.
Well,
I
mean, no.
Doting on Bills there. Jeez.
Because that's what they're told to say. Nobody's giving you any respect. You're the two seed. People think Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks right now in the league. People love the way Buffalo's playing defense. They're being opportunistic on defense. They're scoring touchdowns. They're making plays. They're doing great things. They're peaking at the right time. And then Jordan Poyer's out there going, nobody's giving us any respect. There's no one out there, no one giving us any respect. And I'm seeing on Twitter this morning, there's Chiefs fans out there that are mad at Good Morning Football on NFL Network. All you do is praise the Bills. So there is plenty of respect to go out there for the Buffalo Bills. But again, whatever you need to do to motivate yourself and how to trick yourself into going out there and playing, that's something that you ultimately have to do. And so good luck to you, Buffalo, using that as motivation. But if you're using that as motivation, just let you know, it's a lie. People have given the Buffalo Bills a lot of credit.
I wonder what Dan Orlovsky thinks of this scrub team that could call the Buffalo Bills.
I think they're the team that's most equipped to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I mean,
wow.
That's so a lack of respect.
Unbelievable. Can you believe the disrespect?
I better bunker in. It's only them that believe.
Yeah, the disrespect from Dan Orlovsky on that. Jeez.
I've got more. I just
okay.
I feel like the point has been proven.
Mm. Well, Andy Reid's got more, too. I mean, he disrespects Sean McDermott just to Buffalo and back.
Yeah, well, it's tremendous. He deserves Coach of the Year, man. I mean, he's taken a franchise there. Both he and his general manager put this thing together with some bold moves and production here now. So I think he's done tremendous. What a great thing for the NFL and for Buffalo, which is you've been there, I'm sure, just for a game. It's they love football in Buffalo, and he's really done a nice job with that whole program.
So disrespectful. Nobody's giving the Bills credit.
Nope.
Andy, what do you think? I think Sean McDermott should be Coach of the Year. He's done a great job.
Now, before the season, I was like firmly in the wait and see camp.
I was too,
because I was like, okay, was last year the hit it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't then bust through. Mm-hmm. Like it was a nice season. Wow, you're kind of surprised. So can you back that up the following season? Right? Well, they have.
Yeah, they've done a great job. I predicted them 6-10. And they were my 6-10 Cleveland Browns
and
this year.
To Dan Orlovsky's point, I feel like this team. More so than maybe anyone they've faced this season, or certainly out of the AFC, that's the one you look at and you go, you can play with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You don't have to have anything like, you know, worldly off to be able to hang and play with the Chiefs. You're a good football team. You know? I don't need to give them the pep talk, but I'm just saying that's one where I don't say they have to have this, and this, or they have no chance. No, you can play with the Chiefs.
Sure. Absolutely they can. They absolutely can play with the Chiefs. They've got all offensive weapons. They got a good defense.
That's all the respect in the world.
Yeah. What more do you need, man? What more do you need?
So it's funny. So print the T-shirts now in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Poyer dialing up the well, you got to create that chip on your shoulder. So yeah.
I mean, I understand it, though, because coming into the season, I mean, Kyle Brandt was super disrespectful to them.
I know it sounds wild and jarring to start your morning to the Buffalo Bills, a juggernaut. Fantastic defense, superstar making in the quarterback, superstar wide receiver brought in, coming off a 10-win season, which they got their nose bloodied in the playoffs. Guys, they check just about every box.
I'll tell you what, if that doesn't make you want to just, like, rip somebody's arm off and beat them to death with it, like...
He said they check so almost every box, though. There's some disrespectful. Boy. It's Jordan. So disrespectful.
Jordan. Call us a juggernaut.
Jordan Poyer.
I don't think anybody's given us a chance really all year. You know, we, like I said, the guys between these balls, man, we're the ones that matter. You know, we're the ones that believe in ourselves, you know, have the confidence. We're not really worried about, you know, who, what other people pick, because most of the time those guys are wrong.
All right. So most time those guys are wrong. So depends how you want to use that motivation. I love the chip on the shoulder thing. We talked about that for years, and especially when it's fake.
Oh God, yes,
it's the best.
The fake ones are outstanding.
It's absolutely the best. Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. He drops by for his weekly visit, and he's not quite a believer in the Bills quarterback. That is next.
Yeah, well, it's tremendous. He deserves Coach of the Year, man.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.